3, 2, 1.
You are now listening to the Shalana Folks Talk Show, where I share stories of women who have overcome opposition and evolved into amazing entrepreneurs and powerful leaders. As a former event planner of 10 years, I am now infusing events with my exciting energy as an MC and host. Motherhood also compelled me to build a home-based business. I am the founder and owner of HBCU Legacy Fashion, a kids' boutique that builds awareness around HBCUs while giving back through scholarships. You can learn more at HBCULegacyFashion.com. Now that we're acquainted, let's get into the show. 3, 2, 1. Here we go! Audrey Renee is an author, motivational speaker, entrepreneur, and startup coach. After a failed engagement and homelessness, Audrey found herself with her one-year-old in a transitional home. She later felt more empowered than ever to defeat the negative connotation of how people look at single moms. She went to therapy, did a whole lot of self-development, and God turned her pain into purpose. Audrey created Dear Single Mommy, a blog to help single moms realize that they are women first. They have needs, wants, and desires. Audrey finds that when you take care of the woman, it overflows into being an amazing mother. Help me welcome to the show, Audrey Renee. So Audrey, thank you for coming on today to be my guest. I always like to start off by asking, what did you want to be when you were 8 years old? Like, what did 8-year old Audrey dream of becoming?
That is a good question. I wanted actually to be a nurse, and I wanted to help. I wanted to do babies. I wanted to do, I'm like lost at words right now. I wanted to put the ultrasound.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to help the process of the baby.
I just wanted to be the ultrasound.
Yeah, no delivery. But yeah, that's what I want to be, and a teacher. So yeah.
Okay, so at what point, like in your life, did that change?
I think it actually didn't change. I think that I actually am doing both of those things just in a different way. But I knew I didn't want to be a teacher because I grew up and became a substitute teacher.
Okay.
And I was like, this is not where it's at. And then nursing, it came with so much. I was like, this ain't where it's at either. So I think God ended up using those two things that I actually enjoyed doing to help people birth things in a different way, a business, an idea, or something of that nature. And I teach from what I'm passionate about, which is healing and forgiveness for single moms and changing that mentality. So I just believe God changed it up and did it differently.
You know, God uses everything, because I actually, my degree's in journalism and mass comm, but mm-hmm. I ended up going to graduate school for elementary ed. And once I did the student teaching, I did not like it. I was like, I don't want to do this. It was in kindergarten.
Yeah.
And later I became a wedding planner. So I did wedding planning for about 8 years. I just stopped doing it. Well, I'm actually still planning one wedding right now, but I've slowed down and I'm focusing on other things now. But when I look back and I think about that student teaching, mm-hmm. like that planning, we used to have to make sure our planning notebook was together every week, and mm-hmm. we had to be so organized, so detailed. And that, like, I'm like, well, God, that was just a process. It was all a part of the plan to teach me, you know, how to become more organized and that type of thing. So I totally agree. Like, he definitely uses everything. Yeah. Now, what was your childhood like?
My childhood was, I was raised in a two-parent household. It was, my mom went to work, my dad went to work, and I went to school. I have a sister who's 7 years apart from me. So that was a different relationship, because she, of course, was older and I was the little sister. So the 7-year difference probably really impacted our relationship in a different way, because, of course, when she turned a certain age and was moved out of the house, I was in middle school. So that dynamic was definitely different. I think as we got older, our relationship started to grow closer. And then my mom and dad both worked hard. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Those are two-parent household. I was raised in a two-parent household.
Okay, that's awesome. So quick question. You were raised in a two-parent household. You ended up starting the Single Mommy, Dear Single Moms. You kind of touched on how you were engaged and the cheating and all that stuff happened. And so you ended up becoming a single mom. And I want to know like what that process was like for you, especially knowing, oh my gosh, I came from this two-parent home and, you know, now I'm going to be a one-parent home. So tell me about that.
It was very hard. And I think because of me being raised in a two-parent home, I really was trying to make for something to work that wasn't meant to be. So at the time, I think that I was growing up, I was, before my child was born, I was in a relationship with a gentleman, and it kind of turned into lies. We were engaged. I moved all the way across country to California. And ended up moving to San Antonio because, you know, there just some things had begun to pop up. I had my child in San Antonio, actually. So she was actually born in San Antonio, Texas. And it was very difficult because I felt like my daughter had suffered something that she didn't need it to suffer. Mm-hmm. I still to this day feel like that, you know, my ex is still an amazing father and was very good to me. I just think that somewhere down the line, something changed, and it unfortunately got to a place where it spiraled out of control, where the choice was made and no communication was said. For me, I wanted to make sure that my daughter didn't have to keep going through a healing process, the in and out situation. So it was very hard for me, very different. I wanted to make sure that my daughter knew how to communicate effectively because I wasn't raised in that environment. I needed her to voice when she was hurting and when she was frustrated or when the emotions would change, you know, because I knew that not having a father around will eventually it would be noticeable. You know, they grow up and they're going to school and they see a mom, a dad and a daughter dancing together. And then you see, you see parents and families and eating on picnic grounds. So she noticed that, like, where is my whole family at? And so, you know, having a piece of a parent, only one parent in the household, that really affected me. And I tried to figure out ways to help my daughter through her own healing process from being, being raised with an absent parent.
So I want to back up a little bit because when I was reading some of your story, I saw that you say you dealt with like homelessness. Yes. And you eventually went through therapy and that type of thing to heal from all of that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where you grew up. Where did you grow up?
I'm Virginia.
Virginia. Okay. So was this like before or after you had your child?
This was after. So what ended up happening was after the relationship went downhill and I found out, you know, what I had found out and I decided to move on. I was living with some relatives at the time, but I was sleeping on a couch. And I had all but two suitcases because everything I had, I took along with him because, you know, we were engaged, we were supposed to be married. And so, you know, as a woman, I was like, well, might as well take all my stuff with me. So I didn't have anything to my name but those clothes. I didn't have anything to my name but my daughter's clothes. So I packed up in a suitcase. So what ended up making it the homeless is the fact that I had to, when I was sleeping on my relative's couch, I remember dealing and battling with wanting to commit suicide, the thoughts, because I felt inadequate to be a mother. What ended up happening was I called a transitional home. They didn't have room for me around the time frame of February, but I was supposed to move out of that place that I was living at by June 1st. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna have to sleep in my car because that's just what it is. And I remember packing up all of this stuff and I really felt God strongly say to me, I want you to pack up all that you need and get rid of the things that you don't need so that you can, you know, it was like moving forward. So in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm just going to pack up the car because we need room in the car to sleep if that's what this is going to go to until I found a place. What ended up happening was that night I had applied for the transitional home and they were telling me this was prior. They told me I had to wait 2 weeks to hear something, a week or so to hear something back. That night, they actually called me and they said they had a room for me. They asked me a question at the interviewing process. They said, well, you know, well, what would be a change that you would make if you were here? And I said, I would have a second chance to start all over again and rebuild myself for me and my daughter so that we can have a place to stay and a place to live. And I didn't mind walking through that process to do it. And I think they made that decision, that they said that that was the question that made the decision to why I was called that night before I slept in my car to go to a transitional home called Natasha House.
Wow. And was that in Virginia?
Yes, it was actually in Yorktown, Virginia.
Okay. So you left. So, cause you said you had moved out to California.
Correct. I moved out to California with him. This was prior to me even having Amar. Then I went to San Antonio where I had a church family that was there. So God kind of like orchestrated a lot of people to be there to support me while I had my daughter. And then I had to leave there because when I had my C-section, I did not have enough income and everything around me was falling. I honestly think it was God telling me I needed to move back home because I needed to, you know, get started over. So I moved back home and that's when I was able to get into Natasha House after staying over many relatives' houses and having the, you know, the last thing was I had to, of course, you know, go from there. So yeah.
Right. Okay. And then how old was your daughter at the time?
My daughter was, she was two or three.
So does she have- three. Does she remember it? Probably not if she was two.
She does. She remembers that she stayed at Natasha House. And that was that she remembers because there were other kids there. So she knew about everything that was going on. So she played with other kids. So she remembers very vaguely. I don't think she quite understood what the transitional home was, but she noticed that we stayed in a home with other people. Right. I'll just say that. Yeah. But she was still young. Yeah, she was still young at that time.
How long did you guys stay there before you were able to transition out?
A year. We stayed there for a whole year. And I was honestly ready to transition out. God literally laid everything down in front of me. I had got a full-time position I worked at a school system in the HR department. I was saving a lot of money because in transitional homes, they are basically helping you rebuild yourself. So you're saving money, you're building your foundation back up. We've taught a lot about finances. We went to counseling. We learned how to operate almost a business because we were doing things to help bring more money into Natasha House because we weren't paying full out rent there. We were only paying a percentage to kind of donate to the place that we were staying at. And that helped me save a lot of money. And so I was able to go out and go ahead and get my first apartment with the money that I saved and move into it. And I had all that I needed. And so, yeah, so we only stayed there for a year. I outgrew the transitional home. I had to go. So almost they didn't kick me out, but right. I had outgrew the transitional home so that another mother could come in and, you know, get what they needed from it.
Was there like some type of breaking point when you were there at the home? Like, I don't know if it said it was like you just have a bedroom or what, but like, I imagine there was a point where you're like, I can't do this.
Yeah. Anymore. So a lot of different transitional homes are built differently. So when people think of a transitional home, I think they think of a homeless shelter. Transitional homes are a little different. A lot of them where women have their own homes with their own kids. But for mine, we just had our own room and we shared a living room space and a kitchen with the other mom. So we all had to kind of work diligently together from getting off of work or doing breakfast in the morning or going to work to kind of maneuver our schedules to fit and work as a team. So it was very good because I met women that I have there. I'm still in connection with them. We cooked together. We did things for each other. We took our kids outside together. So if a mom needed to rest, they were secure and knowing that we had their kids. We worked very good together. I did have a breaking moment in my room, a breaking point. I had several of them, but this one was different because I could feel myself healing. I could feel myself having moments in the morning where it was peace and quiet and my daughter was still asleep. And I would go out to this living room space outside of near Natasha House. And it was an outside window where you could like see some trees and garden. And I really just took a breath of fresh air. And I think my mind had made the decision that I'm going to get through this. It's going to look different. It's going to be some rough patches, but we're going to get through this. And I made a decision to do my part in making sure that we not only walked out with an apartment, but I walked out of that place kind of healed and restored and rejuvenated. And that I just wasn't the same person that I was before. So that was a big thing for me. So yes, I've had many nights when I was on my knees crying because I was hurt. I felt this hurt inside of my heart. So there was many things that, had me in tears. You know, you kind of blame yourself, you know, could I have chosen better? You blame yourself, then you're angry at the person who was supposed to be here with you. You know, having to come home and tell people that you failed after you got engaged and moved to a great place called California. A lot of emotional damage was there, and trying to figure out, you know, who was going to say, we told you so, or you shouldn't have went, you know, all those things came into my mind, but I protected my peace. And I just, at Natasha House, they call it our bridge to wholeness. And I truly love that, because it was my second chance to do something and take a breather and not feel like I was surviving as a mom, but to know that I had a team of women around me who became sisters and we helped each other out. And so, yeah, it was a breath of fresh air for me. And it truly was my second chance to do something different.
So when you came home, you know, are your parents still together?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're still together.
Okay. So they were just okay with you being in the transitional home? They weren't like, come home to our house?
So for me, I made the decision. Okay. Sometimes being a mom and living with grandparents can be an unhealthy environment because they're grandparents. They love their child. And so when discipline would come, I couldn't discipline my child the way I saw fit to do so, mm-hmm. because there was, and it was an inconsistency. So when my daughter was about one or two, she, first and foremost, she was calling me Audrey and not mommy because she was around.
Yeah, yeah, she was around them.
People that called me Audrey. And then when I would try to discipline her, you know, they didn't like that because they were grandparents. So they're, you know, they discipline their kids, but you don't discipline their grandkids. You know, that's just, so I was always like, what the world? So I made a decision to move out because I thought it would be healthier for my relationship with my mother and my father.
Okay.
Also, I couldn't get on my feet. So they were, you know, when you're moving back, they want you to, you know, help pay for stuff. And so I couldn't really get my money to get back on my feet again because I was helping them out in their household, including trying to be a mother. And at that time, I was only working a part-time job. So any little money that I was given, it was gone. And so it became a strain in our relationship. And so to save my relationship with my parents, to be a mother fully, I had to make a decision. And so I chose to do the transitional home. So it was nothing. They were actually, I want to say they were probably a little embarrassed by it because like the same question you have, but I think, it was just an unhealthy place for me to raise my child at, and an unhealthy place to be respected as a woman. I wasn't treated as a woman. I was treated like their child. Mm-hmm. And so there was no growth there. And when you find that you're in a place of growth, whether they're family or not, if you're not growing, if I'm not growing, if you're not helping me get back on my feet and you're more so pulling on me, I could not have done anything that I've been able to do now. So they didn't like it. They thought I should have done the same thing as what your question was, but I feel sometimes you have to make a decision to leave family because they actually become a hindrance more than they become support for you. And yeah, so I don't think I would have gotten to where I was if I stayed with them.
Well, that's very respectable because some people would have just been like, okay, but I don't have any other choice. I have to do this, but you found another way. You're like, if it means I have to be in a transitional house, I'll just do that until I can get, you know, back right. And
yeah,
that's respectable. So
yeah. It's hard for some people to digest that because if you ever give a mom, well, go stay in a transitional home, I think in our minds, pride comes in it. And yeah. It's like, what do I look like staying at a transitional home? But for me, if I had goals and I knew that they could take me where I needed to go, I was okay. I was embarrassed at first too. I never told anybody I was in a transitional home, you know, if I was talking to a guy, you know, or anything of that nature. I had to be okay with being there as well. So it was a bit of a struggle in the beginning for me as well to know, man, I was homeless and I had somewhere to go, but it wasn't a healthy environment. And so I kind of was about to sleep in my car. And even though I know that my parents would have took me in, it just really wasn't going to work. And so I loved them, but it just was not going to work. We were already kind of hitting heads on a lot of things. And I just felt like it would have really damaged the relationship that I have with them. So I decided to just take a different route and trust. And it was a really trust God moment, because God was going to, I felt like I had a better encounter with God and a deeper relationship with him because I decided to, you know, lean on him to figure out what the next thing was. So, and he really showed up and showed out.
Okay, so are you still working in a school system?
No, I actually went full-time in entrepreneurship.
Oh, amazing. Great. So tell me more about that. So is the full-time only the Dear Single Mommy? Are there other things?
Yeah, Dear Single Mommy has a lot of things underneath it. So Dear Single Mommy is just the foundation where I would tell my story and where I wrote blogs at. There are eBooks underneath Dear Single Mommy, but also there's an extension where I did Curses Broken Apparel line, which is a shirt line that speaks Galatians 3:13 on it, because we want people to know that you're not breaking generational curses. God already did that on the cross. You just need to walk it out. And so me and my daughter have that apparel line for families, and we want to incorporate it to be a family clothing line. And then underneath Dear Single Mommy again, of course, I have eBooks, motivational talks, of course, blogging for other bloggers. And then I also have startup coaching. So what I like to do, of course, like going back to the birthing thing, I like to help people birth their ideas. Some people don't realize how many free resources out there. And even if they do have the free resources, they don't know which one and how to direct those resources to what they're doing. So for a person like the other day, for a person who wanted to do a book, I was able to provide her with information on how to do her book and what works best for her, because she's a mom and, you know, the resources that she can use to get things done so that she can get her book done without having to pay so much out of pocket cost to get somebody to publish it. And just different things of that nature. Somebody wants to start a t-shirt line or drop shipping and they're just not quite sure the things to get. I'm the person that people come to just help them get in the mindset of starting that goal and that idea, and then just kind of taking a jump and going for it and then growing from there.
At what point did you realize you wanted to only be an entrepreneur?
I've always had an itch for it. So the first time was, I was actually a former spoken word artist, and I used to do spoken word on stage with no paper, just memorization or off the top of my head. And I would get paid for it. I got almost $300 just for being on stage for 2 minutes. And I kind of made, it was like a part-time thing for me. So I was like, ooh, you know, like I can do this, you know? And so I would go and travel around different places, especially churches. And I would do spoken word. I got paid to do spoken word to open up at galas, you know, or behind some music, on, you know, soundtracks for people who were creating albums. And so it really became something lucrative and part-time, but my mindset didn't stop there. I went and made a CD, and then I turned it into a book. So I had an itch somehow to know that, okay, I'm doing this, but what else can I do with it and make other streams of income besides just speaking? And when I realized I could do that, I felt like I had an itch and I knew exactly what to do without kind of anybody telling me. Like for my book, I knew to show up at open mic night, set up my table. And even if the open mic didn't pay me, I would be introducing myself and tell people, hey, I have books and CDs in the back. And kind of like a lot of the stories that we hear, I pop my trunk open and get the CD out and exchange funds. So I knew that there was an itch there. I don't think I even knew at that time I would call it entrepreneurship, because I was just doing what I loved. And I just figured, well, if people want to pay me for it, why not make some other things that they can pay me for? And so I think that's where it started at. When I realized I could do that, then I was like, okay, I can almost do anything. And most of the time what I do is speaking. So if I'm speaking, normally people want to pay me for speaking. And so when I knew that, it was just like, okay, we can do this. So I think that's where everything kind of led to. And I began to use my voice and begin to see that it became a lucrative thing. And so I decided to leave my job because I was not getting paid. I was actually making more than my job was giving me.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's when you knew it's time to go.
Yeah, it's time to go. You know, like I recently just hit a highlight mark in my business where I sold, you know, sweatshirts for Curse is Broken. I made $1,000. Like I think, and that was just in less than 2 days. And sitting at a job, I'm not making that. Although I know that entrepreneurship has its ups and downs, I realize that I have something. And if I can do that, then I know I can do something else. You know, it's just a matter of putting it out there. And so I've just been walking on water ever since, to be honest. I stepped out of the boat and I just decided to come and as God would instruct me to.
Yes. So now you became an entrepreneur. What tips would you have for a single mother who feels like, you know, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to do this full time, but I have to work because I have a child and I'm by myself. And who's going to watch my child if I, you know, go home? I won't be able to afford childcare if I'm been, you know, an entrepreneur starting out. What tips do you have for that type of mom?
I'll never tell a mom to leave her job. That's number one. So my main tip is really, truly be led by God. If God wants you to do it, he will provide a full out way for you to do it. So when how I left my job was, I've always wanted to leave my job, but I knew that because I had all those things that you just talked about as a mom, I just couldn't up and leave. I had to use wisdom, and the best wisdom comes from God. So I literally kind of had to give God my heart and what I desired. And in exchange, probably 3 years later, because that's how long I worked my job, I let go of my job in June of last year. He showed me. And I will always ask for confirmation. So the first confirmation was a financial blessing. I was able to save $10,000 in my account to be able to step out on my job. But I didn't quite leave yet. Cause again, I wanted God to tell me, you know, cause I didn't mind working my job and also turning around and working, you know, the entrepreneurship. So then I asked God, I actually went to try to get a raise from my job. Mm-hmm. So I asked at the time my boss for a raise, and they didn't give me, because I was making under $30,000. I'll just be honest. Mm-hmm. And I asked them for a raise, and I was really probably still not valuing myself, but I asked for $30,000, I think, or more. And they gave me just enough underneath that $30,000 line. And so I just felt like, okay, God, like, what is this? Yeah. You know, like, what do you want me to do? And I just kind of had to stand still and listen. So after I got that, a young lady that I actually, I trained her last summer for my job, because I was working in kind of a different position over the summertime for my job. She was at my front desk, and she was actually learning all that I knew when it came to my job. And God told me she was the one that was going to get the job. And so I was like, okay, because I remember telling her, I was like, would you want this job? Like, because I know I felt on my heart, I knew I was leaving. I just didn't know when. So she was like, I love this job. Yeah, exactly. Trying to give it away. So, and then God, I was looking into school.
Wow, Nikkei dropped some nuggets on this episode. Hey, take a screenshot. Post it to your stories, letting me know what you learned in this episode. Make sure you tag me at Shalina Foltz on Instagram. And if you enjoy this episode, please give it 5 stars and leave a review. Don't be selfish. Share it with a friend. You never know who needs to hear it. Thank you for tuning into the Shalina Foltz Talk Show, and never forget, you're doing your best, and your best is good enough.
And I remember looking it up, but I was like, okay, God, well, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. So the pandemic hit. And I had to stay home with my daughter because everybody was doing virtual school. And so there was no way, because everybody around me, they work. So I have a good community, but everybody works. So there was no way that I was going to be able to have her go anywhere and be properly, you know, do virtual schooling. I had to be home. So there was a period of time where I could work from home, but there, because I worked in the front at my human resource office, I eventually would have had to go back to work. And I didn't know how that was going to work out. You know, we're scared to kind of send our kids to daycare. And so I was like, well, God, is this another sign? And I already had the school that I wanted her to go to. And then I was like, okay, God, well, I feel like you're kind of giving me what I need. And eventually I just turned in, I actually did it on my birthday. that was my gift to myself. I called my job and I said, this is my June 1st. I will be letting go of my job and resigning. And they were kind of surprised. They actually turned around and tried to give me the raise that I asked for. And what
that was a test. That was a test.
Because I thought about it, girl. I thought about it. I was like, wait a second. But God, like it was like something was put on my heart. Like, don't settle. You're still, yeah. That would be you settling still, because they should have gave it to you and you asked for it. But now that you're leaving, they realize that you're valuable, or they knew you were valuable and they just now wanted to give you what you asked for. And so what ended up happening was a girl I trained that summer, I mentioned her name, of course. She had to go through the interviewing process, of course, but I mentioned her name and she ended up getting the job. Wow. She would have been the most qualified because she was already trained in it. So it was like, and she got the blessing that I asked God for. She got the raise the job change that I was trying to get my job to change. So she ended up getting it. Wow. So God was really showing me in so many ways that it was time for me to move out of the way, because what I thought was for me, what I was asking God for, it wasn't for me. It was actually for the person that was going to be behind me. And because God does that, that's why I would tell any mom, if God is calling you to something, if you feel in your heart you want to do something, it wasn't put there by chance. You know, God probably he did put it there.
Yeah.
So what you're feeling is him. But there are some things that I had to walk through. You know, I had to serve those people when I got denied for my, you know, for my raise. I had to still serve them and not complain as God was going to take me to my next place. And because of that, I call it my David moment. I felt like I was tending to sheep in that office and I had to be the front person and I was helping as much as I could and I was good at what I did. But then God called me to now elevate into entrepreneurship world. And it is not a entrepreneurship world is a faith walk, literally eyes closed, trusting God walk. So I would definitely tell anybody if they're meant to do it, my tip to you is pray on it. Get confirmation from God and let him do it on behalf of you. Because if you step out on it by yourself, you know, it'll be harder because it's already hard enough, but you really need to, you know, so I would say for any woman who wants that tip, it's really praying about it and making sure that it's God all the way.
You are full of so much like wisdom. And I can tell you have a lot of great discernment, like that gift. And I really appreciate you coming on and sitting here today to talk about, you know, being a single mom and an entrepreneur at the same time. So the last thing I would like to ask is your motto for your life. Like, what's like your favorite quote or the motto that you live by?
If I can be honest, the one motto that I have, and it's actually a word I got from this year from being a part of a church community, is being anchored. That word for me is they made a picture out of glass for an anchor that I wanted. It was at my job.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny how this year the word for our church body is anchored. My heart feels like I was already anchored in God when I became a mother. And I trusted God because I didn't know, you know, what that would look like for me. I was never a mother before. So it was like, what would I do? How will I do this? And I know that God anchored me when things got to be so deep that I felt like I was inadequate, that I was anchored in him unknowingly because of my relationship with him that he had me. And so if I live by anything, when the business is not working out, I'm anchored in him. So I'm not going to move. I'm going to be planted like a tree with him because of my roots being in the word and in his presence and just in a daily communication with him and him leading me and guiding me. And so I think for me, that anchored word means that I'm walking out into the deep and God is with me. And I find comfort in that. Even though I am afraid of a lot of things that I do, I find comfort in knowing that he's with me and that I can do some of those things and step out and he'll be with me. No matter how deep the mess gets, I'm anchored in God and that's unmovable. you know. So I would, that would be my word for this year and probably to years to come. I will remember that word, anchored, from God. So yeah, that would be my word. Plant it like a tree could be the quote.
Lastly, Audrey, how can the listeners find you? How can they reach out to you if they want you to speak somewhere or just to work with you?
So you can reach out to me at dearsinglemommy@gmail.com. You can also follow me on my Instagram page, which is of course at dearsinglemommy. You can visit my website to learn even more about my story, because I still have blogs up there where I walk you through from when Amara was a baby up until now, just being honest and truthful about how I felt when I walked through that journey. So you can find that on www.dearsinglemommy.com. And if you want to look at our apparel line, we have cursebrokencollection.com, where you can get t-shirts and sweatshirts that really minister to your heart about, you know, how God has broken a curse off of our life. So yeah, that's how you can contact me.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode as much as I did, take a screenshot, tag Shalana Fultz on Instagram, and let me know what your favorite part was. And never forget, you're doing your best, and your best is good enough. I'll see you next week, same time, same place.